Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Well, we've worked through chapter 1 of 1 Peter, and we're now moving on to chapter 2. And chapter 2 begins unwrapping what we are to become in Christ, of how we should act or talk or live, now that we have been redeemed. God speaks to us through his word. We can have prophecies spoken over us. We may see a passage in a Christian book, and sometimes a secular book, or a sentence in the middle of a sermon. But it always needs to be scriptural. Everything we receive about the way we live or the way we are to go is to be checked against the teachings of the Bible. It's the word that guides us. It's the word that gives us the rules for a righteous life. It's the word that answers life's most difficult questions. And if it is taken in daily, it will change our lives. We should crave God's word. Those who know me personally or hear me preaching regularly will know that I keep on about quiet times, or quiet days, or silent retreats. I believe that times of silence are important if you want to grow in spiritual maturity. We are silent before God, allowing him to speak to us. We can start with a favourite Bible passage. God will soon divert us if he wants us to look at a different passage. We have a Bible, a notebook and a pen, and sit quietly, allowing God to speak to us. I was listening to a radio feature by a life coach. A life coach was talking about his work, and a business life coach, business coach. And he said that he advised his clients to spend a day every now and then in silence thinking, what he called a thinking day, where they had a notebook and a pen, and they wrote down the thoughts. I thought that sounds like a quiet day to me. All he wants is a Bible, and he's got a quiet day. So even in the secular world, they see the benefits of silence and thinking. Those of us who are in any kind of ministry can give out and give out and give out. If we don't allow time to take in, we are in danger of burnout. Then we develop illnesses and anxieties and finish up being laid on one side. As we care for other people, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our leaders, making sure that they themselves are being cared for and taking time to take in God's word, the milk of the word, that they need to take it in themselves before they can give out. During this coming week, as to be on a silent retreat, we shall be in silence, simply listening to God, from Tuesday evening until a communion service on Thursday morning. Whilst you are enjoying the members' meeting on Wednesday evening, I shall be in silence. I may think about you. Then again, I may not. Now, somebody has paid for me to go on this retreat. I certainly can't afford to go on one at the moment, but somebody spotted that I needed one. And instead of simply telling me that I needed one, they cared for me enough to put their hands in their pockets and pay for me to go. It's one thing to tell people what they need, but another to facilitate it. We should desire the milk of the Word of God. We need to crave it, to long for it. None of us have a desire problem. We all crave something. We all long for something. The problem is we desire the wrong things. We crave the wrong things. We long for the wrong things and we get ourselves into tight spots. We don't act like the believers that we are. We are looking at just three short verses tonight. Dorcas has already read them for us, but I want to read them again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow by it for your salvation, since you have tasted that the Lord is good. If these three short verses were applied, they could change our lives. Rid yourselves of all malice. I looked up the word malice in Collins' Dictionary, and it said, desire to cause harm to others. When we think of a desire to cause harm to others, we could think of people like Adolf Hitler or Osama bin Laden, who had a desire to kill people. But it could equally apply to any of us if we hate somebody so much that we wish that something would happen to them or that they would get into trouble. Malice could include lying, when we tell lies about somebody, stealing, when we take something belonging to somebody else, manipulating, coercing others to do what we want them to do. I hope that the people working with me do so because they want to, not because I've manipulated them. Gossiping, backbiting, grumbling, causing division and dissension. After service fellowship, when we are all sat in little groups at different tables, what do we talk about? It's easy to get drawn in, even though we might be trying not to. It's an automatic reaction sometimes when somebody says something to agree with them or join in. Then we kick ourselves. God considers these things evil because they take our focus off him. They destroy our witness. Peter tells us to get rid of it because we are telling non-believers that we don't really believe God's word. The next word is deceit, concealing or misrepresenting the truth. God says we should deal truthfully in all areas of our lives. Relationships are built on trust. And deceit has no place in a Christian's life. Hypocrisy. Collins Dictionary defines the word hypocrisy as pretense that you have beliefs or qualities that you do not really have so that you seem a better person than you are. There are areas in our lives where we would like to be better and we might be striving to get there. However, in the meantime, we act as though we are there already. And we slip up, and people notice. At least people notice when I do it. In order to grow in spiritual maturity and show the world that we are true believers, we must identify those areas and take action to rid ourselves of hypocrisy. Envy. When we are jealous of what others have or have accomplished, we can accuse God of not giving us his best. And this can build a wall between us and God. I enjoy reading the biographies of Christian pioneers, people like Paul Brand, Selwyn Hughes, and Lauren Cunningham. People God have used to start great works. I read these stories and I rejoice at how these people surrendered their lives to God and allowed him to work through them. I could be envious, but I praise God that I'm not. I'm greatly encouraged. What God has done in their lives, he can do in mine. There used to be a song popular in the Christian world. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. What God has done for others, he can do for us. All he asks is our obedience to his calling. The final word in the list is slander. Collins Dictionary defines slander as false and potentially damaging claim about a person, crime of making such a statement. And we are back in our little fellowship groups again. There is a nursery rhyme. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It isn't true. I wish it was. I also wish that people realised that those of us in ministry or leadership had feelings, just like they do. We are not robots. We get hurt, just like they do. Unkind words can destroy self-esteem. Unkind words tear others down. We as believers are supposed to build people up. And this includes social media. We need to speak love and life into people, not hate and death. And we find a remedy to these things in verse 2. Like newborn infants, desire the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow by it for your salvation. We are to desire the pure spiritual milk of God's word. Peter tells us to long for the word because it will kill sinful desires and grow us into our salvation. We must read God's word, think about God's word, and apply God's word to our lives. This does not mean that there are levels of salvation. We are saved when we accept Jesus as Saviour. A baby is only born once, and then he or she is living. There are no levels of life. The baby is living, a human being. The baby must learn to roll over, then crawl, then walk, and it's at the walking point that we learn to put our valuables up in high places. Then the baby learns to run. When we grow in our salvation, it simply means we understand it more. We prayerfully appreciate it more. And we desire to become more like the one who gave it to us. Peter describes the word as milk, pure spiritual milk, not contaminated by the world. When I was a boy, back in the 1950s, in the middle of the last century, it's frightening that, isn't it, when we look back, we lived in a small hamlet in Derbyshire. And we had heavy snowfall each winter. You probably remember the winters of the 1950s. Well, every winter, our little hamlet got blocked in by snow. There was only one road through, a country lane through, and it was blocked both sides because we were in the bottom of a valley, or almost in the bottom of a valley, and then it was uphill either way. My parents kept a well-stocked pantry of foodstuff that could be kept, such as tinned food, packets of cereal and so on, and it was a lesson we learned the first winter we lived there. One item that was delivered each day was milk, and the delivery van couldn't reach us when the roads were blocked. At one end of the hamlet, there was a milking shed where cows were milked. The milk was put into churns, and a lorry collected them each day to take them to a dairy. But the lorry couldn't reach the milking shed. The lorry couldn't come down. And the cows needed to be milked, lorry or no lorry. And the milk churns couldn't be collected. Solution. If we took empty bottles to the milking shed, the farmer gave us milk that was straight from the cow. My dad tried to pay him, but the farmer refused the money. He wasn't allowed to sell the milk because it was straight from the cow. He hadn't got the equipment to do the things to it that they do at dairies. It was pure, unadulterated milk. It had been through a filter to get rid of the bits of dirt that cows produce with the milk, but nothing else. And we put it in our tea, and we put it on our cornflakes, and nothing untoward ever happened to us. We are told to yearn for the milk of the word, to thirst after it, and to crave it. Peter compares us to newborn babies. We don't have to tell a baby to desire their mother's milk. They will make it loud and clear when they want to be fed. When they lose their appetite, we become alarmed. Something must be wrong. Peter does not tell us to just read the Bible or even just study the Bible. He tells us to long for it, to desire it. Once again, the issue is not with our desire, but that we desire the wrong things. Why should we get rid of the wrong desires in our lives? The answer is in verse 3. Since you have tasted that the Lord is good. We should do these things because we have tasted that the Lord is God, good. God loved us enough to give us his son Jesus as a sacrifice for us. We should desire these things because we are not going to receive what we deserve. We are new creations with a new heart. We have a new desire, and that desire is to be more like Christ in all that we say and do. And the Bible is our instruction manual. If we are not craving the word, it does not mean that we are not saved. Salvation comes from placing our faith and trust in Christ. But it does mean that we are lacking key ingredients needed for growth, the desire for growth. We can be moral and appear religious, but we are not fooling God. If there is sin in our lives, it destroys our appetite for God. But the word destroys our appetite for sin. The Bible kills sin, but we must spend time in it. We need to study it, meditate on it, and apply it to our lives. Longing for the milk of the word, and I pray that each one of us, as we go home tonight, longs to know more of God.